Amazing love. How can it be? That's the question, isn't it? The question isn't, is God love? The question isn't, does God love? Or even, does God through Jesus love me? Yes, yes, and yes. The mystery, the glorious question is why? When we give him every reason not to, he still loves all the way. How can that be? Let's explore that question together this evening. Will you pray with me? Oh, Father, thank you for tonight and for this moment as we reflect on the importance of that Friday and that Sunday that changed forever. God, the fact that you were willing to give up your son, whom you loved, and Jesus, the fact that you came and entered in to the muck and the mire of our lives and took on all our sin, giving your life as a loving sacrifice. Amazing. God, would you be so kind and gracious tonight to pour out your love into our hearts? Because you don't love in response to our love. It's actually the other way around. We love you because of how much you have loved us. Praise the Lord. We entrust this time into your hands. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. It was a Friday, much like today. 2,000 years ago, a man died on a Roman post. He was a criminal, and he died for his own sin. Next to him was a Jewish man from Nazareth, not a criminal. He died too, but not for his own sin. So why did Jesus die? The gospel question confronts us in a heightened sense this night every year. And some argue that it was just a terrible mistake. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was a victim of circumstance. He got caught in the crosshairs of religious and political expedience. Certainly the Romans wanted peace in Jerusalem, especially during Passover, though the city was just pulsating with Jewish pilgrims. And the Jews, they wanted religious freedom in Jerusalem. And they knew that the Romans would subdue an uprising and fast. And there was definitely a buzz. There was sort of this rumor on the street that Jesus might be the promised Messiah. That was largely cast aside by the religious elite. So when they recommended to Pilate that he crucify Jesus, even though Pilate couldn't find fault in Jesus, he did what almost every politician does. He caved. He had Jesus flogged beyond recognition. A bloody mess. Flesh hanging until he was on nails pierced clean through. But go back with me for just a moment. At Passover, there was a custom. Pilate was a good politician, and so for goodwill, he graciously released a Jew held in custody. He assumed that the crowd, who was kind of enthralled with this Jesus guy, he thought the crowd would call for Jesus, and since he didn't find any fault in Jesus, it made sense. But the crowd started calling for Barabbas, the thief. And in this exchange, something profound happened. Barabbas, a criminal, justly punished, is suddenly free. Because innocent Jesus took his place. Now, Pilate sees the injustice and at some level doesn't want to give in. But again, appeasing the crowds, keeping them subdued, that takes precedence. So against his better judgment, Pilate exchanges the innocent for the guilty. Jesus' life for Barabbas. Baraba, the son of the Father, for the son of the Father. They shared the same title. Jesus impaled, Barabbas skipping on his merry way. Again, some write this off as a regrettable historical gaffe. And there's no question it was a horrible injustice, but it wasn't, according to the scriptures, an accident. Here's how the author of Hebrews clarifies it for us very succinctly in Hebrews chapter 9. King Jesus has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by his own sacrifice. Yes, a cowardly murder by the powerful, no question. And yet, Jesus' death was also a courageous sacrifice of the willing, the intentional love of a just and merciful God. Not only did Jesus take the place of Barabbas, he took the place of all of us. Amen? He came to set us all free from the shackles of our own sin by his own sacrifice. He wasn't caught off guard, everybody. Jesus was on a mission. He came with each one of us in mind to put away your sin. How awesome is that? And not just one sin, but all sin. Sins that you committed 10 years ago. Sins that you committed just yesterday. And even the sins that still lie up ahead. They're tough. Pride. They're ugly. Selfishness. Lust. Jealousy. Where you want what someone else has. Envy, even worse, where you want someone to lose what they have. We all feel it. Deceit. Gossip. Bitterness. Unforgiveness. It just goes on and on, right? All summed up, frankly, in our lack of love for God and love for people. Because that's what we're made for, to love God with everything we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what it means to be human. And my, how far short we fall. All my sin. Which is so much. Combined with all of your sin, fell on Jesus' shoulders that Friday totally undeserved, and yet totally planned. How can that be? How can that be? Jesus came to put sin away. Great sin, small sin, all sin. Obvious sin, hidden sin, your sin, my sin. He came to grab sin by the throat and absorb its penalty in his own frame. That's our King. That's our King. He is the only one worthy to give it all. And he gave it all for us. You know, historically speaking, the Jews called for his life and the Romans executed it. But from God's angle, Jesus gave his life in full control. They only took what he offered. A good shepherd for his sheep, a magnanimous king for his subjects, a gracious rabbi for his disciples. His spotless life for you, for me. If I have to pay for my own sin, I'm condemned. And so are you. No one's clean. No one's clean. And yet everyone can be. How can that be? The gospel is amazing. The love of God is amazing. The Father pours out his love in the Son. The Son pours out his love in giving his life. And the Father and the Son are ready tonight to pour out their love into your heart and mine. No one's clean, but everyone can be, because Jesus put sin away, making that Friday the best Friday ever. Amen. And it was all prophesied. Isaiah the prophet says he was pierced, not for his transgressions, but for ours. He was crushed, not for his iniquities, but for ours. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The angel Gabriel told Joseph, hey, give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sins. And this became the consistent testimony of all the disciples. Paul said he was delivered over to death for our sins. The king died for our sins, according to the scriptures. The Lord Jesus, the King, gave himself for our sins to rescue us. The author of Hebrews says it the similar way. The king was sacrificed to take away the sins of many people. You know, I read that this week, that the king took away the sins of many people. Are you numbered among the many? I want to be. And by God's grace, I am. Peter said the king himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins. For the king died, Peter writes, for sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, to bring you to God. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus' desire is to bring us to the Father? That's what he wants. John would write, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us, sending his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Glory, John writes, power forever and ever to him who loves us and sets us free from our sins by his blood. This is not like one verse. Right? I mean, we're not building this whole weekend off of one verse that's just sort of tucked away, and we just say, trying to make too much of this one verse. It's over and over and over and over because the scripture is consistent. How can it be? Jesus loves to give life, to give himself. God doesn't want you facing your sin alone anymore. Are you willing to hand it over to him? Are you willing to hand all of your sin over to him? He is willing and more than able to put your sin away for good. And Jesus is the only one who can. Amen? I came across a story that I'm going to close with. It's a fictional story, but it's helpful, I think. It helps sort of grasp what we're talking about. It's been helpful for me. The woman flops down on the bench, drops her trash bag between her feet. Everything aches. Her shoulders are stiff. Her hands are raw, all because of the bag. Oh, to be rid of this garbage, she says. Unbroken gray clouds form a ceiling with a thousand sorrows. Drizzle chills the air. A passing car drenches her jeans. She doesn't even move. Too tired. Her memories of life without the trash are fuzzy. As a child, maybe, or was that a dream? She's not sure. A second car, this one stops and parks. A man steps out, and he's carrying a trash bag, lumpy and filled with litter. He drapes it over his shoulder, and he curses the weight. In a moment, he's gone. Her gaze returns to the pavement. She never looks at her trash. I mean, early on, she sort of did, but what she saw repulsed her. She's kept the bag closed ever since. What else can she do? Give it to someone? She can't give it to anybody because everyone has their own trash. Here comes a young mother. With one hand, she leads a little child. And with the other, she drags her load, bumpy and heavy. And then an old man, face ravined with wrinkles, his trash bag so long it hits the back of his legs as he walks. And she wonders sort of quietly, I wonder what weight he would be carrying. Regrets. She turns to see who spoke next to him. Beside her on the bench, a man is sitting there. She hadn't even noticed that he had sat down. And he's tall and has angular cheeks and bright, kind eyes. Like her, his jeans are mud-stained. Unlike her, his shoulders are straight. She looks around for his trash, but he doesn't have any. What's in yours? He inquires. Mine? She asks, looking up at him. Shame, he says. He said it with a voice that was gentle and compassionate. He followed it up with too many hours in the wrong arms last night. And you're ashamed. She stiffens, steeling herself against the scorn that she has come to expect. She awaits his judgment, but it never comes. His voice is warm. The question honest, will you give me your trash? Tomorrow at the landfill, will you bring it? And then with his thumb, he rubs a moist smudge from her cheek and stands. Friday at the landfill. Long after he leaves, she sits replaying the scene, retouching her cheek. She tries to dismiss his words, but she can't. How can he know what he knows? And how can he know and still be so kind? Well, tomorrow comes, a Friday like any other. And there at the foot of her bed lies her bag of trash. She hoists it over her shoulder and walks out of her apartment. For a time, she just stands. She's thinking. First, she's wondering what he meant. And then she's wondering if he meant it. She sighs and sort of with hope just barely outweighing hopelessness, she turns toward the edge of town. Others are walking in the same direction. A teenage girl out in front of her, the woman of shame, hurries up to catch up to the girl. Before she can even ask the question, the girl turns and volunteers an answer. Rage! I'm angry! Rage against my dad, rage against my mom, and I'm tired of it, and he said he'd take it. I'm gonna give it to him. By the time they reach the hill, the line to the top is so long. Hundreds are walking out ahead, all in silence, because they're stunned by what they hear. From the top, a scream, a pain-pierced roar hangs in the air for moments, interrupted only by a groan. And then that same scream again. And as they draw near, they learn why. The kind man kneels down before each one of them and gestures for their trash, offers a request and a prayer. May I have it? And may you never feel it again. He bows his head and he lifts up the bag over top of his head and he begins to empty all of the contents of the trash onto himself, the selfishness of the glutton, the bitterness of the furious, the possessiveness of the insecure. He feels what they felt. It's as if he'd lied and he'd cheated and he'd cursed his maker. And then it was her turn. The woman hesitates, but his eyes compel her to step forward. He reaches out for her trash and he takes it from her. You can't live with this. You weren't made to. And with head down, he begins emptying her shame upon his shoulders. And then looking toward the heavens with tear-flooded eyes, he screams, I'm sorry! And she says, well, you didn't do anything. Still, he sobs and sobs just as she had sobbed into her pillow 100 nights. And that's when it hit her. His cry was hers. Her shame. Now his. and with her thumb, she touches his cheek. And for the first step in a lifetime, she had no trash to carry. She then stood with the others at the base of the hill and she watched as the kind man buried himself under a mound of misery. For some time he moaned, then more faint, and then just silence. I had a strange experience a few weeks ago. I was invited to walk through my childhood home. And when I went out the back door onto the deck, there were garbage cans right where we always had them. We had a big family. We had a lot of trash. And that trash would pile up throughout the week. And I just stood there and closed my eyes, and I could almost hear my dad's voice echo, "Good thing it's almost Friday, because Friday's garbage day." So it is. It's Friday, everybody. It's garbage day. Do you have any trash? Do you have any haunting old tapes that are holding you captive? Do you feel littered with guilt or regret? Do you feel stained at all by even someone else's sin? The trash man's right. You can't live with that stuff. You weren't meant to. The one who made you, he knows everything. He knows everything. And he forgives everything. Let's pray together. Just invite you in the moment to bring your honest self before the Lord. Jesus came to put your sin away for good.